This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
What are they talking about?
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
You know what? Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Maybe we need to change our approach to the 49ers this season.
Like a 7-foot putt.
Yeah, in this way. Maybe they're not the team that... Maybe we just have to start judging this team only on this year. And here's what I mean. If they beat the Patriots, it will be ho-hum. They will not get much, if any, credit for beating the Patriots at home and raising their record to 2-2. Like, this fan base, after the last 5 years, absolutely expects to win that game. And the 49ers should win that game. But what I'm saying is...
Would you like to guess the line?
When they win it,
yeah,
I think they deserve credit for winning the game, because we know this year's going to be a grind, and it's just not going to be as easy as the last few years where they just kind of roll to 12 wins or whatever they get. It's, you know, this year's about scratching and clawing maybe to get into the postseason, and then coming together at that time with a veteran team that knows how to get it done, or at least get to the Super Bowl. But I do think we got to start looking at this team maybe a little differently this particular year. What's the spread?
10 points.
Oh, my God.
You better win that game. That's the largest spread of the NFL season so far.
Well, somebody, let me see if I can get this.
I'm not saying you have to cover, but you better win. I could totally see.
No, I agree with that. They
backdoor
better
cover for the Patriots. Final
win.
Drive touchdown. Jacoby Brissett goes in for 6.
Let's go to Ryan. Ryan's in Redwood City. What's up, Ryan? How you doing?
I'm all right. How are y'all today?
We're good, man. Thank you. Well, I am.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. So normally that last caller, I would agree about Shanahan and, you know, lack of accountability and this and that and everything. But I don't know. The kicker misses a field goal. And I don't know the name of the player that dropped the ball.
Ronnie Bell.
That, you know, both hands hit the ball. And come on. So you make that catch, you get one. I don't know. Players didn't execute. I don't know how you put that on Shanahan. If I was him, I'd point fingers too. I mean, they're getting paid to do a job. They didn't do it. I did mine this time. Now, other times, you know, we can look at him, I think, in, you know, accountability and or lack of it. But not that last game. You know, they should have won that. That game should have been a wrap.
Gotcha. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate the call. I don't know if this is right, Evan, but it's from the 415. According to him, the largest underdog by spread has won the game straight up every week this season. And then he says,
"That is true.
Feel free to check what the largest spread is in week 4. So the biggest underdog in each of the first 3 weeks has won.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was the Patriots over the Bengals week 1, which, by the way, I called. Week 2 would have been, was it Saints over Cowboys? I forget who week 2 was. And then week 3 was Washington over Cincy, or the Niners losing to the Rams, one of the two.
The God, the Saints were the biggest underdogs in week
two. They were like 6.5 point dogs at Dallas. I don't know if there was a larger one off the top of my head. Oh, I thought you were going to read the 510 from the Xfinity Mobile text line. Sonny, I thought Goo was your main man. He still is.
Yeah, I got two main men. And you knew what Evan meant.
But I'm glad the caller brought up Shanahan because I actually didn't get the feeling like Shanahan was that perturbed by the loss.
Really?
Yeah. Listening to him post-game after the rain, like, I feel like games that go that way, he's usually very defensive. He's kind of aggressive towards the media. He's short. Sometimes he'll throw people under the bus, a la Minnesota last year and Steve Wilkes. He talked about special teams not being very good. Now, he didn't take the blame,
right,
necessarily. He didn't put it all on him. But I actually thought he was pretty even keel for a dude that saw his team collapse in front of his eyes.
Interesting. Interesting.
Maybe I'm the only one that got that vibe from Shanahan, but I was expecting him to be a lot more hot and fiery at the podium than he was.
I feel like with those kind of losses, those are killers. Because they're the kind of games where you look back, and you know, I've said this 5 times this week, but God, 1 out of 6 plays goes your way, and you probably end up winning that game. It's like from the fourth quarter on, they didn't make a play. And on the one hand, that would drive me nuts because you start spending all your time saying, oh, the bell drop, the punt return, the fake punt, all the stuff that went, you know, 2-2 getting behind, all the stuff that went wrong. But maybe, I don't know, after 7 or 8 years of coaching, Shanahan maybe knows that. Maybe you have one of those every year, just one of those games that slips away and there's no explaining it and you didn't make any plays down the stretch and let's go beat the Patriots. But
well, I think it also, to your point, could be Shanahan just feeling defeated. I mean, maybe he ripped his team and just expended so much energy in the locker room talking about how bad they played in crucial, you know, stretches that he just didn't have enough for the media. I don't know. But I just thought it was interesting. Like, I thought he would have been hot. I thought he would have been defensive. And he's been defensive even sometimes when they've won games. So the fact that he was a little more balanced, I don't know if people rated it as good or bad. I just took note of it because I expected a different tone.
Right. This is from the 510 on the Xfinity Mobile text line. Very fair. Bottom line is our aces are hurt. We need to stop overreacting. The only issue with that is the aces aren't really hurt on defense. That's the issue, and defense seems to be the big issue. I'll go with you that way on the offensive side of the ball, but this is essentially who they're going to be defensively, right?
Yeah, especially that Hargrave's out for the entire regular season now. I mean, you'll get Greenlaw back. And I think there was an update yesterday from Shanahan that they expect him back middle of the season.
Yeah, he's saying midseason.
I mean, all right, so let me put it to you like this then, because we also started off the show talking about how McCaffrey's procedure in Germany will probably keep him out 4 to 6 weeks. If I told you right now that the San Francisco 49ers, after the bye week, week 10, first week of November, will get Dre Greenlaw and Christian McCaffrey back, what is the record they need to be at heading into week 10 for you to feel good about their season?
Oh boy, that's a tough question because
I know we're jumping pretty far down the line, but it's like if I told you you get Greenlaw and McCaffrey back week 10, does it matter what their record is?
If Greenlaw and McCaffrey are actually Greenlaw and McCaffrey,
sure.
I think if they're 4-5 at that point, they're fine.
Okay.
Not fine, but they can still get it done at 4-5. But
well, the Buffalo Bills were 6-6 last year and ended up winning the division. They won 5 games in a row to finish the regular season. So it's not as if you can't be a 500 team even late in the year and still go on a run to make the postseason.
Right. And yeah, and that is the other unknown is if and when McCaffrey comes back, is he going to be Christian McCaffrey? Is Dre Greenlaw coming off that injury going to be Dre Greenlaw?
I think even just the presence on the field would be massive for this football team, because even if McCaffrey is not 100% or the all-pro he was last year, you still have to account for him every time he steps onto the gridiron. Greenlaw is someone that, at the very least, even if he's not playing like Dre Greenlaw, I just think his presence and his leadership in that huddle is something that impacts everyone.
415 says they'll probably be 3-6. I would take that bet. You think the Niners are going to go 2-4 in their next six? I don't see it.
If they lose this weekend, I could see 3-6, but I don't see them losing to the Patriots.
Oh, by the way, thank you, 925. I think this is going to be right. It was the Raiders in week two against Baltimore that might have been the biggest dog.
Oh, won. Yeah, good call.
Yeah. Well,
but that's the thing. There's been a ton of underdog upsets.
I know it.
I mean, this weekend, I think the Rams and the Commanders were big, but also I don't think Denver was anything less than a 5 or 6 point road dog in Tampa, who was 2-0.
And was Carolina favored against the Raiders?
No chance. It was on the road.
Yeah, exactly. So there's another one. Alex is in Oakland. What's up, Alex? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Hey, how are you?
I just want to say, you know, from not because I'm not a Niners fan, but I am a football fan. And from what I can see what's going on with the 49ers is I think Shanahan has lost the room. Because you can only tell players that you've got a genius head coach, but none of the stuff the genius head coach does is winning you Super Bowls. Then on top of that, you let your defensive coordinator go to help you get to the Super Bowl. Now you come out and everybody's flat. You can only tell me you're a genius so many times before I start questioning you. And I think that's what's going. I think that's what's going on. And he already don't like Brandon Ayuk to even start with. And you mean to tell me you're not targeting that guy? It's like, I don't get it. And I just think it's just the arrogance.
Appreciate the call. I mean, we're hearing a little more and more of that maybe Shanahan is losing, I'm going to say, his voice rather than the locker room. Because to me, when you lose the locker room, it's over. And I'm not convinced it's over. But when you lose your voice, then I think the veterans are still going to be able to perform. But maybe, you know, maybe the young guys aren't improving or getting the experience they need. It's one of these things. There's probably a million different things, and nobody really knows what the specific reason is. There's a million of them.
I would also push back on the Ayuk part of it. You know, I think Kyle Shanahan is notorious for being difficult on wide receivers in general, not just his best ones. So I do think there might be something to the negotiations impacting the working relationship, maybe, or maybe Ayuk's relationship with the front office. But then there was also the Jay Glazer report that Kyle literally sprinted upstairs to try and prevent them from trading Brandon Ayuk. Like, I don't think somebody that was pissed off at BA would do something like that. So, I mean, I don't think Shanahan has lost anything yet, but by the end of the year, that could be a different story. You know, at the end of the day, it comes down to winning and losing. And one of the reasons why Shanahan is as respected as he is sure, he's whatever people label him, a genius, or he's creative, and, you know, as far as play calling is concerned and modern offense, he's at the forefront, and blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, it's because he wins games. Like, he's respected as a head coach because he has won, I think in terms of regular season, he's won almost as many games as Andy Reid. So, at least in the time that he's had to be there.
Right.
I mean, the proof is in the pudding. While Kyle Shanahan does not have a Super Bowl, there have not been very many head coaches that have done what he's done.
That's what,
It is funny, though, that the guy who beat him this weekend is also someone who has a Super Bowl.
Yeah, remember when Kramer started working for the company, but he wasn't really working? He wasn't employed, but he was showing up and doing stuff, and the guy had to fire him. And then Kramer goes, well, I don't really work here. I don't even work here. And the guy goes, that's what makes this so difficult. That's what I thought of when you said Kyle Shanahan hasn't won the big one, but man, no, very few other coaches have had the success he has had the last 5 years. And it's like, yeah, that's what makes this all so hard. I mean, you're right.
Isn't it interesting, though, that
it's fascinating.
As long as you're connected to a Super Bowl in some way, shape, or form, that you kind of get a pass no matter what. Like, for example, John Lynch is not a Super Bowl winning executive.
Right.
But he won it as a player. So all of a sudden he gets credit for that Super Bowl now that he's wearing a suit.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make sense to me.
Yeah, no, I got you. I got you. Let's go to Will's in the East Bay. I'm going to be loving this call. Go ahead, Will.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
No, it is.
Talk to you guys. Thank you.
Yeah.
Dig your show. Hey, listen, just to close the book on that game against the Rams, you know, that team played with a sense of urgency. We're talking about a team that's missing their two best receivers. Their offensive line is decimated. Joey Bosa's out. Aaron Donald is retired. They're down two scores at a time where the Niners could have stomped on their head. And that coach, Sean McVay, you could see the sense of urgency. You could see it, how animated, but you could see people around him taking orders. He really got that team engaged, and he really inspired them. And, you know, we could sit there and nitpick this play. You know, a missed block on the special teams play, the guy got around, whatever. But you know what? For every screw-up, there's a great play on the other side that we don't always talk about that allowed that play to break open, okay? And we can go through this a lot. And by the way, don't give up on Ronnie Bell, okay?
Okay.
Mahomes did not give up on those receivers, okay? He never pointed a finger or whatever, and they still got to the Super Bowl. There were more drops on the Chiefs than any other team. And my last thought, I know I'm taking some time here, but you have a multi-tool player that's out in Germany, might not come back. I think Shanahan's going to have to do some real creative improvising on that offense. And the whole thing in general is this team needs to play with a sense of urgency across the board. They need to play like their quarterback.
Good call. Good call, Will. Appreciate it. And the reason I was looking forward to Will's call is because the title of his call, we have a comment for what every caller wants to call about, and it said, McVay outcoach Shanahan. Okay, this is one of my pet peeves. Anytime a team wins, it doesn't mean the coach outcoached the other guy. And I just think it's the easiest thing to say. You got outcoached. However, I'm with Will on this game on Sunday. It felt, as I was watching the game, like, yes, Shanahan was getting outcoached. Not just because he got the fake punt, but because of what he did psychologically to the Rams team. Somehow, that team was down 14-0 and 21-7, and he still has them thinking they can win the game. The other thing is, I'm just looking at the way the Rams offense went in the second half, and I just can't remember Stafford being pressured. I can't remember anything other than the Rams offense clicking. And so what I'm getting at is I do think he might have been outcoached on Sunday. Even though I do hate to say that, but that is what it kind of looked like to me. The Rams, he got the Rams to play a great game without a lot of his key players and somehow instilled into that team that they could beat the 49ers, and nobody really thought they could.
No, I sure didn't.
Yeah, I didn't either.
But again, it's interesting. Kyle Shanahan's not calling plays on defense. His offense is not playing against a Sean McVay called defense. So did Kyle Shanahan lose to Sean McVay, or did he lose to Chris Shula, who, by the way, is their defense coordinator? Did Sean McVay beat Kyle Shanahan, or did he beat Nick Sorensen? I mean, if you want to go just literally, like, that's kind of what happened. My thing is, at the end of the day, Kyle Shanahan was outcoached, and to me, it's because of what happened on special teams. To me, special teams are always a reflection of the head coach. You rarely see mistakes on special teams from Baltimore, even though Justin Tucker can't hit a 50-yard field goal, apparently. But You rarely see mistakes on punts or on kickoffs from the Pittsburgh Steelers. You rarely see mistakes from what used to be, I don't know, head coaches that don't necessarily call specific. I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head, but you get my point. Tomlin and Harbaugh, those teams are buttoned up. Kyle Shanahan seems to have issues with whoever's calling his special teams. And it's not just a problem this year. It's not been a problem. It has been a problem in the previous years. That is on the head coach. You know, your job is to get your team buttoned up, and they have not been that. And it's not just when they were down in the dumps at 1-2. So I think that's fair to say that Shanahan got outcoached by McVay. You know, but I also expect Kyle Shanahan to respond and help them win a football game this Sunday.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. Here's another one from the let's jump out to the Central Valley. Let's talk to Jason. Hey, Jason, what's going on, man?
Hey, thanks again for taking my call today.
Sure.
Maybe I want to take the time to throw in the Central Valley plug. I am calling from Lathrop, by the way, so I give you your River Island plug right there if you want
nice.
To throw that in.
Yeah. you know what? Hey, sit tight. I'll do it. Jason from the Central Valley. Don't forget, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. All you.
I actually live in the community next to River Island, which is HOA list type of living, so just want to throw that out there as well. moving forward from here, I do agree with you what you said earlier, a bit earlier, Steiny, where I think we should alter our expectations of this team moving forward and take it game by game. You said earlier, we're also missing a bunch of our aces, and Christian McCaffrey has a lot to do with this offense, and I think Shanahan is still trying to find some adjustments moving forward with the offense with that, especially with the Ayuk that was never around during camp. Trent wasn't around during camp. There's a lot of adjustments that need to be made. And as a fan of this team moving forward, I'm no longer just thinking this team is just going to win the division easily or even be NFC or Super Bowl favorites. It's more so of a game-by-game type of expectation. Still believe in this team. Still believe they can turn it around in a positive way. Not sure exactly what that looks like towards the end of the season. However, I am still optimistic McCaffrey comes back and can return. But I still think we should take it game by game, and hopefully everything works out in the end. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, Jace. This is from the 510, Evan. Steiny, can you expand on the analysis and apply it to the fact that Shanahan has lost so many fourth quarters? Is there something about his coaching style that allows other teams to claw back at the end? Well, I just want to talk about the Rams game for now. And all I can tell you is while I was watching that game and they were up 14-7 and 21-7, I just felt like, in a way, Kyle Shanahan, it doesn't seem like sometimes it's good enough for Kyle Shanahan to win the game. That he wants to win it his way. And that's the way I kind of felt against the Rams. For example, you're missing McCaffrey, who catches passes. You're missing Deebo Samuel. You're missing George Kittle. Brandon Ayuk's not 100%. And can I prove this? No. But it feels like Kyle Shanahan is so into the game within a game that he went into that game saying, you know what? They think we don't have our receivers, and they think we're going to rely on Mason. And you know what? We're going to throw the ball today, and I'm going to win this game with Jennings and an Ayuk who's still a little rusty, and it's kind of an I'll show them. I do think he does have some of that in him, and I know that's a kind of a vague and a general thing, but I just think he wants. It's important that he not only wins, but wins in his image.
Well,
he sees before the game, he's going to try to make sure that's what happens and is the reason why they win.
Yeah, so his way is also giving you 10 wins, 13 wins, and 12 wins the last three seasons. So
no doubt.
It's not as if he doesn't know what he's doing.
You know,
how he wants to win is what he philosophically believes is how football, at least offensively, I don't know about his defensive values, but offensively, that's the way it should be played. You know, the first, like the first drive when they marched down the field, I actually felt like it's because they're running the football really well.
Right.
And that first touchdown pass that Purdy threw was because everyone was inside the box or paying attention to Ayuk. Juwan Jennings is wide open. You know, the second drive, they marched right down the field. And sure, you know, maybe some weeks he wants to throw it more. Some weeks he wants to probably run it more. It has to do with the strengths of the opposing team. You know, I just... They've lost back-to-back games. One team I thought was better than them. The Rams, I do not think were better than them. I still don't think they're better than them. And that's probably what eats Shanahan. But the one thing that I was very encouraged by, and maybe we can dig into on the other side, is the fact that the level of play from his quarterback didn't wane. It didn't dip. No matter how many pieces were out, no matter how much Jake Brendel couldn't keep a single guy out of the backfield, no matter how much Colt McKivitz couldn't keep his feet in front of a defensive end, Brock Purdy played well. And he played well enough for them to win that football game.
No, that I agree with you on wholeheartedly. All right, what's coming up on the game is presented by Fremont Bank. Fremont Bank, celebrating how many years? 60. 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I used a word that didn't exist the last time I was on with you.
Okay. Guru does that every day.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Guru taking care of some business. We always wish him the best.
Yeah, love you, Goop.
How long do you think this phrase has been around?
Oh, boy.
Because I have just heard it recently. Situational stops.
Probably sometime.
Okay.
Maybe they're called something different, but a situational stop is, yeah, like a third down.
Right.
Or fourth down, or red zone defense, or, yeah. Probably those three things.
Yeah, that's the name of the game in football. It's like, who cares if they start at the 15, get 60 yards, and then you hold them and they have to punt? It's like, those are 50, I don't want to say meaningless yards, but that's really what, like, you can give up a lot of yards, you just get to stop at the right time.
Well, that was, I felt, always the beauty of Belichick's defenses, is it never really felt like they gave up a ton of touchdowns.
Right.
Or when they needed to hold a team, they could get it done. You know, I don't know if you keep an ace in the hole kind of deal. A lot of people believe that, like, Steve Spagnuolo for the Chiefs, like, he saves a lot of his, I don't know, more disguised blitzes for the tail end of games. You know,
right.
Brian Flores for the Vikings, you'll see him disguise a lot more stuff on third down than, say, first or second down. You know, that's the hallmark of a great defensive play caller. But in general, you know, it's, gosh, it might have been the Super Bowl a couple of years ago for the Eagles when they lost to the Chiefs. In their first couple drives, they marched right down the field. And then after not the Super Bowl. Last year against the 49ers, they had two opening drives, I believe, in which they marched right down the field and got two field goals. And you're looking up, and the Eagles have dominated the first quarter, but it's 6-0.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, an avalanche just hits them, and the Niners just roll. But it's like, that was your chance to win the game.
Yeah.
Just like the Niners had their chance when they're up 14-0, if they stop that fake punt, or if they hold them on that drive maybe to 3 points after a fake punt. But instead, the Rams swung the momentum back in their favor by scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, and by the way, Spagnuolo, how old is he about?
He's actually pretty old.
50, 60?
In his 60s, I think.
Careful. Yeah, he got that from my dad.
Stiney's got a birthday coming up,
by the way. He got that from my dad.
I'm not going to say which day.
My dad.
But it's soon.
And I've said this a million times. My dad always said, son, if you can steal the ball from a guy, don't do it in the first quarter.
Is this what you told Gary Payton II?
Yeah, I might have. I like to share my wealth of information, even with the pros.
I just remember he had a big grin on his face.
He's a great guy. I hope he's healthy this year, by the way.
What'd you have? A Truly?
Thank you. Yeah, me too. You're going to have another 6'2 power forward.
We'll get into the Warriors in a minute. Training camp's on Monday for the Warriors. By the way, you mentioned Bill Belichick. We got a... we'll have a little present. What did I say? All right.
What'd you say?
He said media day on Monday. Now, I'm going to stick it to Ken here. Ken said media day on Monday. I guess I said training camp on Monday. But do you know why? Do you know why media day is so abbreviated this year?
Yeah, because they're flying to training camp.
Thank you.
But they don't start training camp until Tuesday.
Media day is always informally considered.
Monday.
Considered. What did I say?
It's Tuesday.
Media day is Monday. You said training camp. We're going to, like, the Warriors start training camp on Monday.
They do.
Not really.
They do. Organized team activities.
Can we put the rat on the table?
Yeah,
brought to you by Adco Pest Control, please. NBA training camp's a joke.
Well, that's a fact.
I mean, seriously.
It's like 4 days.
It's not even training camp. They play 3 or 4 preseason games against the same team. They played the Sacramento Kings like 4 times last year in the preseason. They're going to fly to Hawaii and, I don't know, schmutz around and grab some mahi. I don't know what they're going to do out there, but the last thing they're going to have, they're not there to... They've already been right, or they aren't going to get right, but 4 days is not enough. Like, NFL training camp is months. MLB spring training is months. You can't put training camp into 4 days and call it training camp.
Well, especially... So I'm looking...
Thank you, Loco Moco. It's just camp.
I'm looking at the internet, and I saw a headline that said J.J. Redick, who's the coach of the Lakers, J.J. Redick announced his starting five. It's like, how can you announce your starting five? You haven't even gotten to camp yet.
Did he do it on his podcast?
I don't know.
Every single... What if instead of press conferences this year, they're just live podcasts? He should start doing them with LeBron. AD and LeBron usually do their press conferences together. But J.J. Redick should just, you know, dial that thing up, throw it onto Apple or Spotify, and call himself the first podcasting head coach.
Well,
ever.
All coaches who love to communicate must answer to Doug Gottlieb. Because he is a coach and still has his radio show.
Which is also
a joke. Incredible.
That's a joke.
I can't disagree with you there. I can't. Let's go to Big D. Big D's in the hospital. He usually listens to us over his lunch break. What's up, Big D? How you doing?
Oh, not much. Haven't talked to you guys in a while.
Yeah.
Tell Guru I said Goofu, I said hi.
Will do.
Oh, man.
Hey, I just want to hold a couple players for the Niners accountable, and I don't want to see their face or their number again, is Ronnie Bell. You got to go. You got to go, man. Hey, the kicker and special teams, take them out, shake them up, take them out back, and you know what I mean? Read them their rights. But that's what blew the game for us, for me. You know, I knew we had players. They had players out. Hey, we kept up with them, let them. Hey, Shanahan needs to change.
All right. Night-night. He wants Ronnie Bell cut. The 49ers are going to have a decision to make when Pearsall does come back. I don't know what they're going to do. But obviously, Ronnie Bell didn't do himself any favors with that drop.
Yeah, probably not. But at the same time, okay, so if Jacob Cowing can't get on the field and people have been clamoring for Cowing, then why all of a sudden would he jump Ronnie Bell? I'm not saying Ronnie Bell should or shouldn't be on this team. I mean, it was very disappointing that ball hit him in the worst place, which was the hands, and he couldn't come down with it. But if Cowing wasn't on the field in that situation, and I think he might have even rotated out for Chris Conley, then why all of a sudden when Ricky Pearsall comes back, is Ronnie Bell the guy to the practice squad? I'm not so sure. Okay. At the end of the day, We're talking about a fourth receiver here. And I know it's because a couple of guys are out and banged up. But if you're putting everything on the fourth receiver of a football team, we got bigger problems. I'm sorry. Just like if we're going to be worrying about how Jordan Elliott plays now that he's got to step in and fill in for Hargrave. Like, if he's the guy that you're just pointing at and saying, all right, he's the... We got bigger problems. You know, I think the 49ers are good enough around these, you know, quote-unquote weaknesses to still win football games and keep themselves afloat until they get whole and get healthy. And the big reason I think that is because of how consistent their quarterback play has been. Has Brock Purdy been perfect? No. But statistically speaking, he's been one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And actually, one thing that did hit me as I was taking Bard in today was Brock Purdy has a better chance to win MVP this year than last season, even if their record isn't as good. Like, Brock Purdy's MVP case starts now. And if you're looking for someone that, if you're a gambler, I mean, plus 2,500 right now are fantastic odds to get in on the Purdy camp.
What did he do? What did he finish last year?
I believe he finished either fifth or sixth.
Okay.
McCaffrey was third. And
oh, well, yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean that Purdy is the best quarterback in football.
No.
But a lot of times the MVP is based around storylines and situations. That's the reason why Josh Allen's the leader in the clubhouse right now, because he lost his number one wide receiver and has helped this team be 3-0. It's why Sam Darnold, his stock is rocketing up. Derek Carr has been a name. You know, those guys aren't... Josh Allen might be. Carr and Darnold aren't the best quarterbacks in football. Far from it.
Right.
But Brock Purdy has a legitimate case to being a top 10 or better quarterback. And now, if he continues to play at a high level, and if the 49ers find a way to win some football games, he's going to be in the conversation.
No, and I think it... Like, when I think of Purdy and McCaffrey... And the most valuable player, I do think a little bit about Curry and Durant in that how do you pick who's the MVP? So with McCaffrey going to miss some time, yeah, he's out of the picture in terms of the MVP this season, you would think. And we've just gotten this text, Evan, and I'm going to use this text to update everybody as to what's going on. The 510 says, any news on Christian McCaffrey? And his Germany visit, I saw reports saying the soonest is December. Evan Giddings did a podcast yesterday with Dr. Norman Chow.
David.
And I should know because I met him. Why don't you do it since you talked to
him? Shout out Norm Chow. Didn't think we were getting a Norm Chow mention.
Oh, that's a guy from USC.
Man, Hawaii.
Oh, see, you know what? That makes me feel better when I do something like that.
What, mess up?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I mean, at least they didn't say Harry Chow, and there is no Harry Chow. That's, you know, true. What I'm saying?
Or the dog Chow Chow.
Easy.
The dog Chow Chow. That's true. But no, he basically said that with the procedure that McCaffrey's looking at, and it's only available in Germany, I think in Panama, basically it's a platelet enrichment injection that they put into a specific part of your body. Kobe famously got one for his knee back in the day, and... From the time you get that injection, your timeline or, you know, getting back on the field is roughly 4 to 6 weeks. And that doesn't mean you're going to be 100% once you hit the field. So I don't think we see McCaffrey before the bye. And that might be optimistic. Week 10 would be the week that I would pencil Christian McCaffrey back in.
Yeah.
Optimistically.
Yeah. If everything goes well, I would say. Loco Moco on the YouTube chat. I'll take it. He said, Norm is not David. Steiny with the little T. That's a little T. That's a perfect little T. You know, you get two little T's, though, you get thrown out of the game.
Oh, so. I was also wrong. Purdy was fourth last year, right behind McCaffrey.
Oh.
For MVP.
Yeah, there you go.
Finished slightly ahead of Josh Allen. But to my point, though, I don't think anybody last year would tell you that Dak Prescott was... He might have been better statistically, but I don't think he's a better quarterback than Brock. Well, he finished second in MVP. Like he,
right.
Because he had less of a situation than Purdy did. And also, he doesn't have to split votes with his running back.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. And plus, Cowboys have You know, they won 12 games. It's a regular season award. So they won 12 games last year, the Cowboys did. 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to jump into the conversation. And one of the things I'm throwing out there is, okay, things have gotten off to a rocky start. Would you take 10-7 right now? Evan would take it, with all things considered. I'm not quite there yet because I still believe the window's open to this team getting healthy midway through the season and then getting on a little bit of a roll. I don't know if I predict it, but that's why wouldn't take 10-7 just yet. How about you guys at 888-957-9570? And as you know, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. I don't feel like without McCaffrey, their Super Bowl chances are dead, though. And isn't that a credit to the 49ers and Shanahan? Because McCaffrey was third in MVP voting. Usually you lose your top offensive player, a player that everybody thinks is your top offensive player, or top two, that you're in big trouble. But I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that even without McCaffrey, they can have a great season.
Well, it's going to be difficult if your offensive line isn't blocking anybody, yep, and you're not able to get Samuel back to 100%, and Kittle might have a nagging hamstring the whole year. Like, the fortunate part, and kind of similar to last year, is at this point, they only have, I think, one glaring season-ending injury, and that's Hargrave. Last year was Hufanga. Though they had guys that missed games, there was nothing that they couldn't overcome. You know, McCaffrey had no dealt with the calf in the playoffs, and, you know, Debo with the shoulder and all the rest, but the guys were on the field. You know, that's where they need to stay. Okay, so Kittle misses last week. All right, can he get back this week, and can he play the next few weeks to help you win some of those football games? Debo's not going to be available probably this week. Can you get him back for Arizona? That's a good Cardinals team you'll probably need him against. You know, is Talanoa Hufanga? First game back, I don't expect it to be his best, but can he make one of those Hufanga-like first-team All-Pro plays that he did a couple of years ago as he gets back into the swing of things? That's where I think they need to sort of, again, just cobble these next few weeks together while they get healthy and get whole. But at the end of the day, it is about winning football games, and that's where the Rams game does hurt, because that's a game you expect to win. You know, the Niners are playing a first-place schedule. They're playing all the best teams around the rest of the NFL, and they have yet to get to them. So are those teams going to be cakewalks? No. And the Niners, look, there's also no excuses for this season. There's no excuses for this team because they're expected to compete for a Super Bowl. I know you made the point about looking at this year as its own, and while that's fair, we can't just dismiss the fact that this was a team that didn't have aspirations to get to where it was last year. And right now, I think that's why people are in panic mode or are worried about this team, because it doesn't look like they have what they had last season.
Yeah. Hey, you want to do a little experiment?
Yeah, sure. What do we need to get test tubes or
no,
a volcano?
It's more of an oral experiment. Get your minds out of the gutter. Okay, so Guru's been doing something recently. Yeah, not recently. He always does it. But lately, I've just had a lot of trouble responding. He has this habit of asking me stuff that I have no idea how to answer. I have no idea where to go with it.
I'll let you finish.
So I'm going to let...
Oh, no!
So I just want to throw you a question that Guru would throw at me. See how you handle it, and maybe this can be a teachable moment. Are you ready?
I'm waiting.
Evan, what if Jordan Mason gets hurt?
Oh, that sucks.
Evan, what if McCaffrey's out for the year?
So the reason why you can hear my smile through the radio is because...
See, it's hard, isn't it?
You do that all the time.
What are you talking about?
Hey, Goo, Goo. What if Curry only plays 40 games this year?
That's different.
What if the Warriors get hurt? I mean, what?
No, I expect the Warriors to get hurt.
Klay Thompson's getting older. He's on the decline.
No, this is different.
There's no way you can expect him to shoot like that this season. And you might be right. But the point is, you also ask unanswerable questions.
Is that true, listeners?
About things 4 months in advance that I cannot answer. So that's why I'm smiling through my mic right now.
Now, I'm going to take exception to this. See, I think, let's say, as it relates to the Warriors' age and injuries, I think...
But Goo!
I think it'd be more likely that I'm like, Goo, you can't expect these guys to play the whole year. That's different than... Evan, what about Purdy's back? What if Purdy's back serious?
Well, I don't think it is. That's how I would answer that, but... I don't think that Jordan Mason can run the ball 30 times for 17 straight weeks. I think that, you know, if you're looking at what is that? 400 and
so he's got 70 touches right now.
Oh boy.
So 70 times. We're almost at the end of quadrant one.
So 70, let's just say times 6, I don't know, so carry the 4. It's a lot. It's a lot is what we're talking about here. So yeah, I think that's going to be a problem long term. But I also assume that McCaffrey's going to be back. And so, you know, maybe actually you do just run Jordan Mason into the ground because you can do that for 10 weeks. You know, 30 touches, 10 weeks, 300 touches, carry the 4. McCaffrey's going to be back. Well, then we'll just give him the 30 touches. You know, maybe this is a stable of horses. Like, you ever been to RIP, Golden Gate Fields?
Yeah, Dollar Sundays.
Not anymore, unfortunately. RIP. But it was my favorite day of the week and not because of church. The thing was, you run those horses into the ground. I mean, the moment they get hurt, their careers are done, and, you know, you euthanize them or whatever they decide to do. But for as long as they stand upright and as fast as they can run, you just let them loose. And so, you know, I guess that's kind of a cruel comparison. But that's Kyle Shanahan's track record with running backs. He just runs them until he can't run them anymore.
Oh, that's the other thing that I was thinking about last night.
But yeah, if Jordan Mason gets hurt, he's not going to get paid.
Well, that is such a crime. It's unbelievable. I hate that about the NFL. I was thinking about this the other day. It's like, Jordan Mason may never get paid. He might. He might not ever get paid.
Well, he'll get paid, just not like a middling wide receiver.
True, but
like if I had to bet, okay, so Juwan Jennings right now is, I think, one of the best values in the NFL. Like, he makes $7.5 million.
Juwan Jennings,
yeah, yep. Can step in, be this guy, be that guy. He does whatever you want him to do. Jordan Mason, in all likelihood, will never make $7.5 million in a single season in his career. And that's not, I don't think that's a hot take, but he will touch the ball infinitely more times this season than Juwan Jennings will.
Yeah.
Who's more important right now? Well, I guess Jennings looks like he's more important because Brandon Ayuk can't get open or can't catch balls. But in a perfect world, Juwan Jennings is... Like, week one, Juwan Jennings was not nearly as important as Jordan Mason was.
Right.
When the Niners were winning a football game, unlike the last 2 weeks.
This is from the 510. Absolutely. Steiny always asks unanswerable hypothetical questions. It's infuriating. That's Chris A. from Oakland. Hey, Chris A., you're done. You're done now.
I think I met Chris A. last year at a... It was after a Warriors game, I believe. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but at Dumpling Time in Thrive City. Dude, they got some great food over there.
Oh, that's the restaurant over there.
I'll take you on Monday for the start of training camp.
I see what you're doing there. I see. Jonathan in San Leandro. What's up, Jonathan? How you doing, man?
Hey, good afternoon, Steiny. Yeah. I just wanted to let you know, and you can take this with a grain of salt, but you and Goo sound like two brothers who will go, I don't sound like that. I don't do that. And you both are two birds of the same feather, and I mean that with all respect. I love you both, and I wouldn't have it any other way. But, Steiny, you got to hear it. It's there, buddy. You and Goo are two of the same, brother.
Appreciate it, Jonathan. Go ahead, yeah, all you.
Yeah, sorry. I wanted to scratch your head on this, Danny. What if Shanahan's pulling a page out of the Warriors book and saying, hey, there's a good chance we'll reach playoffs? And like Draymond says, playoffs are at the end of the season. So during the, you know, how they have this track record of, you know, being accused of not taking certain games too serious. And if they win, they win. And they know which games they have to go out there. And I know that that's probably not true, but that's something I thought about. I said, hey, we're an injury-prone team. And also, I wanted to ask you about Christian McCaffrey before coming to the had a couple of good seasons with him.
Jonathan, you're that's too much. And I think I saw Lucas in the back. Lucas is one of these guys. Is that Lucas back
that's
there?
That's the director of sports we're talking
director
to.
Director of sports. Lucas is one of the, let me tell you what Lucas is big on.
The USC Trojans?
Well, yeah.
And Zach Chower, whatever his name is.
And I've mentioned this.
Thanks, Luke.
I've mentioned this before. You know, when somebody calls in with a suspect connection, you know, I tend to give them a chance. Will it work out? Lucas comes with a hammer right off the bat. He's like, get him off. Get him off. And that's, you know, you want to talk about great coaching. That comes straight from the boss. The boss, maybe Shanahan can learn something there. The boss relays that message to the director of sports, and then the director of sports carries out that task.
Are you insinuating that this is a buttoned-up organization?
Absolutely.
A buttoned-up show?
I like the kind of ship Nahegan runs.
My shirt is literally unbuttoned.
By the way, got some comments on that shirt.
Yeah, now I look like Ace Ventura. I'm feeling myself today, Steiny.
Here's my feeling on Hawaiian shirts. I like them. In Hawaii. In Hawaii.
That's fair. I love them any time of day. Any place, anytime.
I have style.
All right. I'm sure you do. Let's see. What do we got here? Oh, you know what? I've noticed. Great job on this, by the way, Evan. You're starting to finally conserve paper and use both sides. I love it.
Took me 3 years.
Yeah, I did that back in high school. Download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.